Robinhood Radio presents Your Health with osteopathic physician Dr. Kim Tripp, a show presented monthly on Robinhood Radio, discussing the challenges faced and the solutions that are available for keeping vital health and well-being throughout our lives. And now, here's Dr. Tripp.
Hello there, everybody. Welcome to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp, osteopathic physician. This is the health show created to bring you vital information and discussion of all kinds of health issues on your mind and in your life from the unique perspective of traditional osteopathic medicine. And what we always do at the beginning of the show for new listeners is clarify what that means. Osteopathic medicine is practiced by fully licensed physicians in the United States with a DO degree, a Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine degree. Our practice is based on the essential relationship in all living things between structure and function. In other words, the natural interdependence between anatomy and physiology, or that between the physics of the body and its chemistry. As osteopathic physicians, we use our comprehensive and precisely detailed knowledge of anatomy and physiology to promote health and healing in our patients. We work gently with our hands to help your body restore optimal function based on optimal structure. Our medical specialty is therefore called osteopathic manual medicine. We receive uniquely in-depth training in anatomy and physiology and their relationship within your body in the context of a full physician's medical training. Only U.S.-trained osteopaths are fully licensed physicians and have all of the current medical pharmacopoeia, nutritional science, and full medical training at our disposal. This means that your individual treatment may include a wide range of approaches, but it will always be founded on our gentle, hands-on work. We practice from the unique perspective of first looking for the health in our patients, rather than merely finding illness and disease. Our practice has been especially effective for, but not limited to, musculoskeletal and other structural issues, as well as problems like chronic headache, gastrointestinal issues, post-concussion syndrome, sleep disturbances, allergies, and many, many other problems. We work together with you, the patient, to help you build health and vitality in your body, mind, and spirit as the solution for your health problems, rather than only treating the disease symptoms. So in the radio show, we tackle health issues from this point of view. What can we do to help you build your health and vitality in order to prevent and heal injuries and disease? And we do that by giving you some basic information about the problem to help you understand what's happening, as well as offer solutions and guidance for helping yourself to heal and stay healthy based on our clinical experience with patients in our practice. Before we get started on today's topic, let me again remind you that you can listen to all of our prior Your Health shows online at your convenience, such as the shows on back pain, gastrointestinal problems, nutrition, carpal tunnel, etc., by going to Robinhood Radio's website, then the On Demand section, then scroll all the way down and select the Your Health shows. Then you can click on the individual show by topic and listen. It's an amazing convenience. Today, we're going to delve into the thoracic diaphragm, that unique muscle that spans our chest at the bottom of our ribs and makes it possible for us to breathe. We generally refer to the thoracic diaphragm, thoracic as in thorax, as in chest, as the diaphragm. But it is important to realize that there are other diaphragms in the body, including the pelvic diaphragm. But for today, when I say the diaphragm, we will be referring to the thoracic diaphragm in our chest. The term diaphragm in general means a thin dividing membrane from the Greek and Latin roots, and we apply the term to various specific uses. Anatomically, the thoracic diaphragm is a thin sheet of strong muscle extending across the thoracic cavity, separating the abdomen, our belly, which contains the GI system, among other things, from the thorax, our chest, which is surrounded by ribs and contains the heart and lungs, among other things. As I said, we'll refer to the thoracic diaphragm as the diaphragm going forward. Let's spend some time on the anatomy and function of this amazing structure. How does the thing work anyway? The diaphragm is a thin sheet of muscle at the bottom of the ribs, spanning the entire chest cavity and doming up into that cavity under the heart and lungs like a parachute. It serves as the bottom of the thoracic cavity and the top of the abdominal cavity, separating the abdominal contents from the chest cavity contents. As a continuous sheet of muscle, it attaches in its own middle to a central tendon that strengthens and stabilizes the muscle as it contracts, moving down into the bottom of its range, and then relaxes back up into the topmost domed position of its range, all with each breath in and out. The central tendon actually fuses with the fibrous sleeve surrounding the heart, which we call the pericardium. The diaphragm is also in direct contact with a number of other organs, and we'll talk about that shortly. The diaphragm attaches all along its rim to the ribs and vertebrae of the lumbar spine and to the little cartilaginous bump at the bottom of the sternum, your breastbone, which we call the xiphoid process, which does actually change into bone as people age. The diaphragm is tethered, if you will, like any parachute, to the upper lumbar vertebrae and the 12th ribs through a set of ligaments called the arcuate ligaments, as well as by two tendinous attachments called the right and left crews, which are extensions of the diaphragm tissue itself, and they attach along the lumbar spine. The diaphragm has three large openings through its tissue to accommodate the esophagus passing through to the stomach, the great aorta artery passing through to the abdomen as it carries oxygenated blood from the heart to the body, and the inferior vena cava passing up through the diaphragm to the heart. That's the large vein that returns deoxygenated blood from the lower body back to the heart. In addition to these large openings, there are numerous tiny openings in the diaphragm called stomata. Yes, that's the same word that we use for the tiny openings on the bottom of leaves. The stomata allow for lymph and other fluid exchange between the abdomen and the thorax. There are several abdominal and thoracic organs which lie in contact with the diaphragm. The heart, lungs, liver, stomach, spleen, pancreas, and esophagus are directly and positively influenced by the rhythmic contraction and relaxation of the diaphragm during breathing. This aids circulation and lymphatic flow, which is so important for immune function. The diaphragm, like the heart, is one of the most important muscles in the body for survival. Its remarkable design and function allow us to breathe. In order to inhale, the diaphragm must contract and lower toward the abdomen and flatten. This allows for pressure to change in the thorax that allows the lungs to fill with air. In order to exhale, the diaphragm then relaxes, domes up, and helps the deoxygenated air to be released from the lungs. If the diaphragm doesn't function, we can't breathe. The diaphragm is controlled by both voluntary and involuntary physiology. Most of the time, the diaphragm functions involuntarily. We're not consciously controlling exactly how we inhale and exhale. However, we do have a certain degree of voluntary control, which we use when we are consciously controlling our breathing, including when we hold our breath, although it becomes increasingly difficult to assert voluntary control of the diaphragm the longer we hold our breath. Breathing is a very strong primary drive. The diaphragm is controlled by the phrenic and lower intercostal nerves in communication with the brainstem, which controls involuntary life support functions like breathing. The phrenic nerve emerges from the spinal cord on both sides of the spine from three of the neck vertebrae, that is C3, C4, and C5, the third, fourth, and fifth cervical vertebrae. The left and right phrenic nerves then travel down to the diaphragm and control the contraction of this muscle sheet in relation to impulses from the brainstem. These would be the involuntary impulses, or the cerebral cortex. Those would be the voluntary impulses. Damage to the phrenic nerve interrupts diaphragm function and hence breathing. Since the diaphragm is a muscle, it can spasm, in other words, reflexively and repeatedly contract, and that gives us the hiccups. The diaphragm also helps to create our cough reflex in response to irritants or congestion in the airways. During a cough, the diaphragm is first stimulated to create a large inhalation by dropping. Then our epiglottis closes, so pressure builds up in the lungs. And finally, the diaphragm moves into exhalation while the chest wall muscles contract, expelling the air very rapidly through the open airways at speeds approaching 100 miles an hour. This clears the airways out. This is an essential function to help heal and prevent respiratory disease and airway damage. So what can go wrong with this amazing muscle? There are different types of diaphragm problems that can be basically considered as anatomic or neurologic, and that may be caused in either case by congenital defects, trauma, or disease. Some of the more common or critical problems include congenital hernias, where the diaphragm does not completely develop, allowing abdominal contents to push into the thorax, and which also leads to breathing difficulties. In such a case, respiratory distress and/or cyanosis, which is a bluish discoloration of the skin resulting from poor circulation or inadequate oxygenation of the blood, may occur within the first 24 hours of life. If the defect is small enough, patients often remain asymptomatic for years or even decades. For major defects, surgical repair is necessary. Traumatic rupture or tearing can occur, where the diaphragm muscle or other tissue is pierced or torn by weapons or blunt force. Initially, depending on the severity of the injury, such injuries can give abdominal pain, respiratory distress, and even cardiac dysfunction. Recall the close relationship between the diaphragm and the heart. Later symptoms from this kind of trauma can include gastrointestinal complaints, pain in the left upper quadrant or chest, pain in the left shoulder, shortness of breath, and inability to take a deep breath. GI symptoms can be severe with nausea and vomiting and with unrelenting pain and respiratory distress. Any disease or injury that impacts the brainstem or phrenic nerves can lead to life-threatening interruption of diaphragm function and thus breathing. One of the reasons why all trauma victims are placed in a cervical collar at the scene of the accident is to, of course, avoid spinal cord injury, but also avoid phrenic nerve injury so the diaphragm keeps functioning. Any injury to the phrenic nerve can threaten diaphragm function and breathing. Neurological and muscular degenerative diseases like ALS, myasthenia gravis, polio, muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, et cetera, and even temporary paralysis syndromes or diseases like Guillain-Barré disease can lead to diaphragm dysfunction depending on disease progress and severity. Stroke, surgical trauma, radiation therapy, post-viral neuropathy, or tumors all can lead to diaphragm dysfunction through interruption of nerve signal to that great muscle. If the diaphragm becomes paralyzed on one side through trauma or disease, the person may not feel any major symptoms, but will likely feel some shortness of breath with exertion, general fatigue, some chest wall pain or pressure, and can be especially short of breath when lying with the paralyzed side down. On the other hand, if the diaphragm is completely paralyzed, they will feel extreme shortness of breath with even minor exertion, and will not be able to breathe while lying down. Distressed breathing can be a very serious problem that must be addressed immediately. Call 911 or get to the ER if this occurs. However, it's also important to realize that our diaphragm need not be severely injured or diseased to be suboptimally functioning and thereby limiting full excursion of inhalation and exhalation, thereby leaving us with suboptimal respiration and suboptimal oxygenation. This can lead to fatigue, incomplete clearing of mucus and other airway irritants, and increased susceptibility to allergies, asthma, or colds, as well as incomplete lymphatic function. Recall all the organs that are in contact with that diaphragm and benefit from its rhythmic motion. There are any number of musculoskeletal injuries and restrictions that can impair diaphragm excursion, leading to suboptimal breathing. Any rib, neck, or back tension or restrictions can translate to diaphragm restriction. Recall where the diaphragm attaches and where its controlling nerves originate. Like any muscle, even slight restrictions of circulation or nervous impulses can reduce the diaphragm's optimal function. So what can we do to heal diaphragm injury, disease, or dysfunction? Well, we know that major trauma may need corrective surgery, and neurodegenerative diseases will all each have their specific plans of treatment. Less severe dysfunctions can be treated with rest and osteopathic treatment to include eventual reconditioning of the diaphragm through breathing and general conditioning exercises. Osteopathic treatment can be an excellent, sustainable approach to help with diaphragm and thoracic problems, to restore normal and full diaphragm range of motion, relieve muscle strain and spasm, alleviate pain and inflammation, restore full range of motion to all the ribs and associated tissues. An expert osteopathic physician who is a specialist in osteopathic manual medicine can be particularly helpful for diaphragm issues. An osteopathic physician who is a specialist in osteopathic manual medicine knows how to work gently and in detail with the intricate and extraordinary structures of your thorax, ribs, diaphragm, upper back, and chest, working with the bones, muscles, ligaments, tendons, and fascias to relieve inflammation and pain, improve the range of motion of bones and muscles, optimize circulation and lymphatic drainage, and help your body restore your diaphragm, ribs, sternum, chest, and all the associated tissues to optimal structure and function, thereby not only helping to relieve the problem, but also helping to prevent further issues. In addition to regular osteopathic treatment, here are some tips for preventing injury and maintaining good health for your diaphragm, ribs, and thorax. Always gently stretch your chest, neck, and upper back before and after exercise or other strenuous physical activity. Practice deep breathing and neck and shoulder mobilizing exercises regularly to help keep your diaphragm, ribs, and thoracic muscles moving freely. Use proper technique and equipment that is the appropriate size and weight for you. Make sure that your sports, construction, maintenance, and repair activities are not straining or forcing your neck, back, and chest to follow anything other than good body mechanics in all your activities. Don't try to lift heavy weights that are too heavy for your own individual conditioning. To avoid straining your neck, diaphragm, and chest wall muscles, including household items and furniture. Stay well hydrated to keep tissues flexible and healthy. So to review, diaphragm problems and reduced function can come on at any stage of life, even without an injury. There are less common and more medically serious causes of diaphragm dysfunction that are associated with breathing difficulties and chest pain that can accompany cardiac problems, as well as a daunting number of possible causes of thoracic pain in this complex area. So shortness of breath, rib, or thoracic pain should always be examined by a physician well-trained in musculoskeletal health. Any sudden changes in breathing ability need immediate emergency medical attention. Osteopathy, as practiced by osteopathic physicians who are specialists in osteopathic manual medicine, can relieve the initial pain and symptoms and make a real difference in helping optimize structure and function in the diaphragm, ribs, upper back and chest, and neck, and therefore in resolving and preventing these issues with precise, gentle hands-on work. Well, that's all I have time for today. Thank you, as always, for your attention to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp. Please remember that you can email your comments and suggestions for topics to yourhealth@robinhoodradio.com. If you have a health issue yourself and would like to find out about how we might be able to help you in our practice of traditional osteopathy, we're at our offices in Sharon, Connecticut. Dr. Kim Tripp and Dr. Andrew Goldman, Goldman Tripp Osteopathic Healthcare, 860-364-5990, Monday to Friday, 8:45 a.m. to 5 p.m., with evening hours Wednesdays and Fridays, or on the web at www.goldmantripp.net. Meanwhile, I'll be looking forward to being with you next time, every other Friday at 12:30 and Sundays at 5:30. Take care of yourself, keep cool, and thanks for listening.